Well, Callum Smith, good to see you here in Dublin. Massive fight day ahead for Katie Taylor, Chantal Cameron. But 7 weeks today, your big fight against Artur Beterbiev. How's preparations been going this time around?
Yeah, good. Obviously, with the postponement, I had a bit of time off to have basically done a full camp. So I had time off to rest, come back down to go back up again. But it's been good since we started up again. I've got a buddy over in England, and I've always said when I'm in the gym, I feel like I improve all the time, and we're just getting little tactical things in place now and keep working on them week after week. And I'll come fight night, I'll be ready to go over there and take his belt off.
Just today in itself, being in a fight hotel, you can probably hear the lift going off behind us. Yeah. You're bumping into fighters who are boxing tonight. Does that just give you a little bit of an extra itch?
Yeah, I think it always has. I think when you're around boxers, even like just being in the gym with, like, say the likes of Gary Cully and stuff who's on tonight, you're seeing them preparing for the fight, and the tactical side of it's always being something that I've enjoyed, and it does make you want to do it yourself. And I want to start a camp. You kind of, I know the date I'm fighting, and I know the stuff I have to go through to get there, whether that's the physical side getting fit or the tactical side and making sure I improve as a fighter. So I've always enjoyed that side, but as tough as it might be, and I say being at the fight night now and seeing all this just give you that little bit of buzz to get yours on. But you know, it's 7 weeks a day, but I'm sure it'll feel like a couple of weeks time. I'll be heading into my own fight week. When you're in camp, the weeks go by pretty quick, and the old saying, you've got to make every day count, and you know, I'm doing my best to do that.
You say it goes quick sometimes in fight weeks, but this time's the second time around. You had a full camp, like you say.
Yeah.
Just talk to us about the frustration. I mean, it must have been very disappointing for yourself.
Yeah, it was, because I know everyone says it, but I'd had a really, really good camp, to be honest with you. It was very tough physically, but I felt I was in really, really good shape. I'd started, that was my main actual block of sparring that was coming to the end of it, and I've been sparring pretty well as well. So it's one of them. It was very, very frustrating, but I pulled out of a fight myself early in the year. I was supposed to fight Stepien in Liverpool, so I do understand.
It's part of boxing.
Yeah, injuries do happen. It's not the first person to happen. It's not good. No, I'm not going to be the last. It does happen, and it's part of the sport. You've got to just take it on the chin. But yeah, it was frustrating. It was a bit deflating as well. Like I said, I put a lot into the camp to just then have nothing at the end of it. But I had a good few weeks off, rested, spent some time with my family, and it gave me that itch and that buzz to get back in camp and go again. And in terms of Beterbiev, I think the minute I beat Bordelik to become mandatory, I've kind of had Beterbiev on my mind ever since, and it feels like I've been thinking about something for nearly 2 years now, and I just want to sooner or later get in the ring with him and know to fight a fight that I respect, I rate, his achievements speak for themselves. But you know, I've always watched him and felt I've got the style to beat him, and I like my chances in this fight, and as it's getting closer again, the more and more I'm performing in the gym, I definitely, you know, very, very confident I can go over there and take his belt off him.
How does having a second training camp for the same fighter back-to-back help, if at all?
Yeah, I think it just gives you longer time to prepare, but it works both ways. He's having two camps to prepare for me as well, so I think if there was anything I wasn't quite getting first time round, I think I'd get right this time. But no, again, tactically, pretty similar. No sparring. I think I'll probably try and mix it up a little bit rather than go through the same sparring partners over and over again. But yeah,
just to keep it fresh?
Yeah, just to freshen it up a little bit, but it's one of them. You know, you've got to get the right sparring in, which I feel we will. So it's good, but I think it's just mentally a little bit tougher. Like I say, I've had Beterbiev on the brain for a long time now, but it's one of them. It's I'm more focused on what I get when I win, and that's the 3 world titles. So regardless of who I had to beat, I'm willing to do it. So it's again, I'm fully focused on Artur Beterbiev. I'm not a big studier, but I've seen enough of him over the years to know what needs to be done, and I say buddy knows, he's watched them, and I believe he'll come with a good game plan this time around, and we'll get it done.
Your last couple of fights, we've seen you go out to the States. Just talk to us about your sort of training camp setup for this 7 weeks out from fight night.
Yeah, normally I say I do the first half in the States and then back over to the UK for the second half, but we had a little phone call and just talking about the specifics of camp this time round, and buddy said, would you prefer if I come to Liverpool for the full camp this time, save you travelling? Obviously I've got two young children as well, so as much as I enjoy going to America, it can be a little bit inconvenient at times. And I said, well, you're the boss, whatever you think's best. And he said, well, I think we'll do the full camp in Liverpool, which, you know, was obviously, I think my missus was a little bit happy with that decision. But yeah, he come over a little bit earlier this time. He's doing the full, say, 10 weeks or so in Liverpool. So, no, I think that just shows the belief and
commitment.
He's got commitment he's got in me as well. He's leaving his family for 10 weeks as well. So it's, you know, what's at stake. It's a big fight for both of us. And I'm saying we're doing everything we can in camp to make sure the best version of me turns up. And I've always been a big believer the best version of me beats anyone in the world. And I still stand by that.
Let's talk about Buddy, your relationship with Buddy inside the ring. How do you think you've developed as a fighter since you linked up with him?
A lot, to be honest with you. And I was laughing the other week. I watched one of the older fights. And
which one?
It was on the Groves fight come up, and like the highlights and stuff. And I watched it, and look, I believe I boxed well against George Groves. It was a good win at the time. But even watching that, to want him to, because I think when you're in the gym every day, you probably don't really notice the changes you're doing. Not any drastic change, but I watched it, and I've seen a lot of changes I've made even since then. And I was a very probably stiff and upright European style, and I didn't realise how upright I was until I watched one back. So yeah, I feel I've improved a lot, Buddy. I think that's what impresses me, his boxing brain, his box. He's a perfectionist. A lot of the time I throw a combination that I think was good and he'll correct it slightly, and then it's only when I get it right I realise why he corrected me and stuff. And I think that's a good thing to have. I feel like I've always got to impress him every time I'm in the gym and prove he were to improve that I am a good fighter. And I think that always brings out a little bit more in me. It takes that complacency side away, and it's outside the gym. We've got a good relationship as well. I get on with him, I enjoy his company, and well, I like to think vice versa. So I think we've got a good balance, and I think since moving to him I started enjoying boxing again a little bit more, and I say it's given me that little bit of a buzz going to the gym to prove myself to him and impress him.
Heading over straight into the Lion's Den, Canada. You travelled and boxed away before, but this time around Artur Beterbiev, his adopted homeland.
Yeah.
Do you think you need a knockout to take the belt home?
I don't know. You get asked this question a lot as a fighter. I think as a fighter, you believe, no, if I do enough to win the fight, I should get it on the decision. I'm very confident to do that. But I think the type of fighter is, I don't think it will go the full distance. Obviously he's never been to points, and I fully believe in my own power, especially at 175 as well. So I think it could be an exciting fight to watch for a neutral, but I don't think it goes the full 12 rounds. No, I think I win, and I think if I win, I think I knock him out.
Yeah, like you say, 19 have tried, 19 have failed.
Yeah,
all inside the distance. However, he has been dropped twice. Yeah. Jeff Page Jr. and Callum Johnson.
Yeah.
Say Callum Smith then, but we'll leave that for January.
Yeah,
I mean, that must give you confidence in yourself, knowing he can be hurt.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I've always said I rate him as a fighter. I know, so 19 fights, 19 no hopes and 3 world titles. I can't really criticise him much, but I think people just forget.
Did they overlook it?
Yeah, yeah. I think if I had been dropped twice as a professional, I'd probably, like Andy Ward got dropped early on in his career and had to be labelled, chinny for his whole career. And I think better it's being dropped twice and people kind of just blank it out and say he's this, Eastern European monster, and he's been put over twice, and I think it was within 13 fights or something. I think if that was anyone else, they'd probably get highlighted a little bit more, but people choose to forget about it. And I think as a fighter, once you've seen it done before, it gives me even more confidence that I can do it myself. And say, as a fighter, you take every little bit of confidence you can, and I've seen him hit before, so if they can do it, I can certainly do it. And so I head into this fight full belief that I know I can hit him, I know I can hit him, and I believe I can stop him.
Did you spar CJ in the build-up to that fight in October 2018?
Yeah, because I think it was I might be wrong, but I'm sure it was the week after Mike Rowe's fight. We were both in camp together, both sparred a lot. For like the first half of the camp, we were sparring, and then as they got closer, we kind of tailored off and used different. But I sparred Callum for many, many years, but yeah, I sparred him for the Beterbiev fight as well.
So you said you've had Beterbiev on the brain for 2 years, but maybe sort of planted seeds even before that.
Yeah,
in the round,
I think everyone kind of knew I'd be at 175 at some point. I just wasn't sure quite when, whether I thought he'd still be around. I didn't know, but I always envisioned I'd be a two division world champion, and I believe, say January 13th, I can do that. And I'd say familiar face. I knew a bit of it for a long time. I remember. See, I was on a camp in Russia with him in the amateur, so I knew who he was, and I followed his career since. So it's not heading into the unknown. It's someone I know pretty well, and so I know the task at hand, but it's one that I'm confident I can do.
In that training camp, did you spar Artur at all?
No, weirdly enough, I was 69 kilos, he was 91, so there was
a difference.
Bit of a big difference at the time. He was doing heavy, well, technically cruiserweight at the time, and I was a very tall welterweight at the time, and obviously the way things have worked out, we're about to meet at probably light heavy. But I knew of him then. He was probably more heavy handed then. He was younger and fighting at a heavier weight. But no, I can't sit and criticise him. He's a very, very good fighter. His achievements speak for themselves. But I think there's the time and right for me to, well, for anyone to go there and beat him. And I think I'd be the man to do it.
There is a photo been circulating in recent weeks of Artur and Dmitry Bivol out in Saudi Arabia, which has got the attention of the boxing fans. Probably a bit unfair for people to be suggesting them two should get it on when you're standing in the way.
Yeah, I agree. And look, if taking me out the picture, if you announced that fight was getting made as a boxing fan, it's a fight I'd like to see. I understand people wanting to see the fight Obviously, I do think it's a bit disrespectful, people saying let's see it next when they know I'm next in line and I've got a fight scheduled in with them. But in terms of wanting to see the fight, like, who wouldn't want to see that fight at the minute? They're the best two light heavyweights in the world. Jan 14th, I think that'll change. But at the minute, I can understand why people do want to see it. But I'm out here to ruin them plans, and hopefully we can see Mevee Bivol next year as well.
And the three belts that are on the line are the three belts you haven't won.
Yeah.
You've obviously captured the WBA belts. Yeah. The other three are on offer here. Does that just add another little...
Yeah, definitely. I always joke with me sticking distance coach, Johnny Redlands. You know, if I had any form of OCD, then this kind of solves that. I've got the WBA, they've got the Ring magazine, the plea that I need, the exact plea that's up for grabs. So maybe it's meant to be, maybe it's written in the stars, but no, regardless, I want to be a 2-8 world champion, whatever belt. It just seems that little bit better that I get three this time, and it's the three that I need to complete the set.
And should you get those three, like we know and hope you will,
yeah,
is an undisputed fight something you'd want to consider with Bivol?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the... I'd either probably retire.
That's the end goal.
2-8 world champion and all the belts, or it's probably the most obvious fight to make. If one man's got three belts and someone's got the missing piece, then I think that's probably the only fight that would make sense for either of us, unless we went and pursued the Canelo rematch, which is obviously an option for him. But whether that happens, I'm not too sure. But yeah, if it come past Betterbev, then the obvious fight would be to Bivol and hopefully take two Russians out in the space of a few months and then sail off into the sunset.
And that would avenge the amateur defeat as well.
Yeah. Me and it was 2011 or 2012 in Hungary. I think Joshua boxed Kuzmin the same day as well. Yeah, same Kuzmin. So yeah, it's a good tournament. And again, he's someone I've always
had an eye on.
Yeah, like I always recognised his face. I've seen him training in the wild card. I think he kind of based off of the team when he signed with Matchroom and stuff. But I knew of him since the amateurs. He's always been a very good technical fighter, good ability and stuff. And I wasn't surprised when he went on to do what he'd done.
You're speaking there about, sailing off into the sunset.
Yeah.
You're 33, pushing 34 next year.
Yeah.
Your brothers, two of them are obviously now retired. Have you started to think this is, a realistic thing now, You seem content.
Yeah, no, but I've always just been happy in my own life. And I know I love boxing. I've done boxing my whole life. It's all I've ever known. But I think for that reason, I've been around boxing. I've seen too many fighters staying that little bit too long for whatever reasons. And I've always been a believer that I'm good enough to achieve what I want, and if I can do that and
on your own terms,
enough money, then I can leave. I have big admiration for like Andre Ward and people like that who walk away when you think, you probably could have had a few more fights left in you, but what's the point if you're happy and content with what you've achieved? Then, it's a very, very tough sport, and you do sacrifice a lot. I sound like a broken record, but fighters, we do miss out on a lot. We do sacrifice a lot. To reach the very, very top, the pinnacle of the sport, it's tough to get there. So the people who keep going and keep going, they've obviously got their own reasons for doing that. But I've always felt if I can achieve what I want and walk away and be happy and content and not always sit and wonder what if, whatever, could I have done this, could I have done that, then I'll leave whenever I feel the right time, whether that's after it'd be better, if fingers crossed, then that may be it. If I feel like there's more left and I want to carry on, then as long as it's always on my terms and I'm not fighting for other reasons.
Certainly one or two big more nights before then. But yeah. Callum Smith, we look forward to heading over to Canada in January and seeing you do your thing, mate. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
And we'll speak soon.